Are you ready for some meatball?
What a week. What a week. But if you've come for a distraction from this crazy week, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Meatball Composer. This weekend, we begin the 2021 NFL playoffs, and I'm going to bring Mark on the phone here and talk about the Bears-Saints game, and as well as the other matchups for this weekend and how things could shake out. So, get distracted for a half hour or so, think about some unimportant stuff, and yeah, let's just jump right in and do this. Thanks again for listening.
The Bears.
The Bears are in the playoffs and here to talk about what their chances are. That won't take long. And as well as some bigger picture playoff and NFL stuff. Here's Mark. Hey, Mark.
The playoffs?
Playoffs.
Playoffs.
They're in, man. The Bears are in. And it seems like stuff I see online, most fans are happy, I think, that they're in. And not as many, oh, they screwed up the draft order. Oh, they stink. Blah, blah, blah. Not as much of that as I thought or expected. So I guess I'm glad about that.
Yeah, it's still fun to be in the playoffs, I guess. I think it depends on whether you actually thought two things could happen if they didn't make it. That they could actually draft a top-tier QB, which that ship sailed probably when they went 5-1 to start the year. Yeah. And if you actually thought they were going to make wholesale sweeping changes in the coaching staff and above, which probably isn't happening either. And so given those two facts or near facts, you might as well be glad they made the playoffs.
And what do you think about the Brad Biggs rumor that Ryan Pace's future rides on this playoff game?
I sure hope not, because distilling this whole thing to one game would be pretty stupid. But I love the guy that they mentioned, like the Bergonzi from the Chiefs. It'd be a pretty nice fit as a new GM. I mean, that's definitely a guy that's supposed to be ready, and I guess they'd be trying to make that work with Nagy. And then there's also the Ted Phillips retires and Ryan Pace bumps up because he's done all the renovating of Hallis Hall and all the other things that they like, and he's a good little boy who gives Virginia her sponge bath or whatever it is that they love about him.
Come on.
So they'd bump him up, but then the GM would be the guy from the Chiefs, Bergonzi, and they'd keep Nagy.
But isn't Bergonzi?
I think that's how you say it.
Or is that how you say it? I don't know.
I think so.
But isn't he already like higher than a GM role? Or what is his role at?
I think he's a director of pro personnel or something.
Okay, so that's not quite a GM. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, that'll be interesting. I agree, it's weird that depending how this 8-8 team does in a playoff game where they are highly the underdog, that would determine Ryan Pace's future. It makes me think that it's just an excuse, like maybe the decision's already made. Like, well, you know, we lost that playoff game. I guess you gotta go.
I already have 6 years of Ryan Pace now. Like, what one game's gonna mean? Like, come on, stop it. That's just stupid.
Especially
if you like the job he's done, you'd like the job he's done. If you think he's worthy to be fired, then this game shouldn't change either way.
Yeah, and we got a long injury list for the Bears that could definitely because the first time the Bears and Saints played. It went to overtime, and it was with Nick Foles. So you think, okay, well, they're better
that
now.
During the Foles season of this season.
Of this weird long season. But we also have a very different defense now than we did, than we faced the Saints the first time. So,
yeah, when you look at some of the defense rankings, when the Bears and Saints first played, after that game, the Bears were like sixth in DVOA, which is the best defensive metric, and the Saints were like 11th. And now the Bears are 13th and the Saints are second.
Oh.
So this game is – that's a big story in this game is how the defenses have gone in opposite directions.
Yeah. Wow. Actually, to be honest, I'm surprised the Bears are still that high.
Oh, 13. They've been bad, right? Yeah. So that's really about how well they started. Yeah. And there's a lot we need to talk about probably there. And there's a lot to talk about with that first game, too, as we try to look to this game.
All right, what you got in the first game?
So beyond the defense thing, and well, we've got to come back to the injuries, too. Gosh, so much to break down.
So many injuries.
That was when Rashard Coward was your left guard.
Bad.
Max Rustifer was nowhere to be found. Whitey Coathair was injured.
Oh, Whitey Coathair.
Was already out. Oh. Massey got hurt during the game. I don't think Bars had played much yet, at all, or maybe like a little bit against Tampa, and then they put Coward in to start for the Saints. And the Bears still had 89 yards, or Montgomery did, had 89 yards, and Foles had 272. So it was the offensive line at its worst state of assemblage. And it was still a pretty productive day for the offense. But I do feel like that's got to be balanced by the Saints' defense seems to have improved quite a bit.
Yeah, that's some good stuff right there. I mean, that the offensive line, out of all the units that the Bears have had that have actually improved, the offensive line is so much better now. So maybe we can expect more from the running game.
They have the second-best run defense in the league, though. So that
I said maybe.
Balanced. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's a really hard game to really feel too good about, in all honesty. But there are some things, you know, they had to go to overtime. The Bears dropped two big interceptions. The one with Roquan in overtime might have been a pick six and won the game.
That's a trend with the Bears lately, is dropping interceptions.
This whole year. And that brings me to my fall guy, Chuck Pagano.
Okay, yes.
The thing that made me so mad about that game, as you know, is the defense at the end of the first half when the Bears were up 13-3, and the Saints got the ball with a minute and a half to go and marched right down the field against the sorry, soft Pagano defense. And the Bears settling for a field goal right before that probably wasn't good either. But my point is, if you want the sunny, optimistic orange-tinted glasses here, the Bears probably should have won that first game. Which means they have a chance Sunday because they played them really tough the first time. But there's so many differences. Is Roquan playing?
We don't know that yet.
Good luck with Kamara. Good freaking luck. Ooh. Really looking forward to not Lance Briggs 55 trying to cover Kamara on that game.
Yeah, so since you bring that up, injury report. What are some things that caught you? Here's what caught my eye yesterday. I haven't seen the report for today, but yesterday.
It's not out yet.
Yeah. Okay. Mooney did not practice yesterday. Neither did Allen Robinson with a hammy. And it wasn't one of those veteran resting.
No, but they've been doing that with Robinson in two of the last two games. He had a day off in the middle of the week.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll play. I'm really worried about Mooney and, of course, Roquan. Looks like Jalen Johnson might be back.
Yes, I did see that. He had limited the last 2 days, so that would, of course, be a huge boost to the defense. But on the offense, if they don't have Mooney or Robinson, and from what you're saying, maybe I'm just, you know.
I think Robinson's playing, but that's not actually new to this week, so I wouldn't worry about
that. Okay, I didn't know that. So that makes
if they're both out, you can forget it. Anthony Miller becomes your number one wide receiver, and Javon, let's get into another fist fight. Okay. Wims is your number two. You can put a fork in the Bears.
Why is Wims still on the field? Is Riley Ridley that bad, or is this another case of the coaching staff not making the right decision or pulling the trigger way too late on a roster position, or you know what I'm saying?
I have no idea because we don't get to see enough of Riley Ridley. His brother's pretty darn good.
Well, that's my point. It's like, how long did it take to make other changes that were like, why did this take so long?
Howard's the obvious one.
Yeah.
What was that guy ever doing playing?
And Max Rustifer.
Yep, good old Max.
So,
frustrating.
I wish I could know, like, is it Ryan? Is it Ridley?
I know the one thing they always say they like about Wims is his blocking.
Okay.
But that's your reason to play the.
Yeah. The one ball that went his way last week, it wasn't even close. And I'm not going to put that on Mitch just because Mitch hasn't been that off. and it was Wim, the first ball to Wims in a while. So
yeah, we're back to Mitch's biggest problem being decisions, not accuracy, which, you know, he likes to go back and forth and keep us on our toes there. So yeah, I'm inclined to think that was maybe a messed up route. But at any rate, that injury report doesn't look good for the Bears. It looks like the Saints are getting people back. The Bears may not be. It's all trending the Saints' way. I mean, there's a reason they're the 10-point favorite.
Yeah, that's too much, by the way. Bears are going to cover that.
I hope.
I'm confident they're going to cover that. I'm not confident they'll win, but I'm confident they'll keep it close.
I know we'll come back to the Bears. Don't get me wrong, but I actually want to talk a little bit more about the Saints being down here. They're not that confident around here about the Saints moving forward. They think they'll beat the Bears, but I don't think they really think they'll beat the Packers.
I don't think they'll beat the Packers.
And here's the thing: people down here are like, okay, we got to get Kamara and Thomas back. Everybody knows that. They're more confident in their defense than their offense. And when's the last time you thought that about the Saints? And I think they're right.
Wow.
You know, they lost to the Eagles in the last month. The Saints are 2-2 in the last month. We finished the quarter better than our opponent. We think we're going to go out there, run the football. I mean, I'm sorry for Lovie Smith here, but everyone acts like the Saints are coming in playing this amazing football and their defense is, but their offense has still been very hit or miss. Like, they crushed the Vikings offensively, and Kamara had 27 touchdowns or whatever he had in that game. Got me 60 fantasy points for the no one cares segment of the show. And but you know, they got that loss to the Eagles. They play the Chiefs really close. I can't remember who else they lost to. It was the Chiefs, but who else did they beat? I don't know. But down here, the story is Breeze's last hurrah. This defense is really good. If they get the pieces back and they click, they can really do some damage. But there's almost this little bit of angst about whether that will happen.
Yeah.
They're kind of in an interesting spot, but they're definitely playing. I mean, they're 12-4. I mean, you know, I mean, that says enough right there.
Is the thinking that Breeze retires after this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the Saints are very limited by Breeze. Like this year, I mean, he's opened it up a little more, but they don't go deep much. Swear, if this is a soft shell game from Pagano, I'm going to fly up there and stab him after the game, or down there. Because they don't throw it deep hardly ever. Mm-hmm. This has got to be a get-up-on-the-receivers game, and key on Kamara, of course. But I'm really worried about the Bears' defense. They've just been so bad, and now their best player's probably out. Do you really think there's any way to stop Kamara if Smith is out?
The Roquan's out? No. No, I don't think so. Nope. And, you know, can they get to Breeze pressure-wise? Or will they get to him?
If they ever play to their talent for once. That's the other thing. People down here are very confident in the Saints O-line and point to the Bears game as their worst game. Which is kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
And I'm not sure what to do with, because I'm like, well, Mac's still really good. He doesn't have the sack numbers I'd like, but he's pretty much always causing problems. And then the rest of them have been bad. Can I ask you something about a beloved Bear?
Yes.
How hurt is Akeem Hicks? I don't see any push from Akeem Hicks this last, three games.
I don't either. In fact, I think Quinn has had more pressure.
I don't think he's healthy, because I'm like, what is he doing?
It seemed like every play against Green Bay, the line –
he just got stonewalled.
Yeah, it just – the ends both collapsed. Like, both Mac and Quinn seemed like they were coming in. But, the front of the line, so Rodgers could step up. Or, you know, just get rid of it real quick across the middle where, you know, a linebacker is chasing.
I'm pretty much convinced Hicks is playing at like 60-70% full strength.
It sure looks like it.
And I don't think they can win this game without the front being really good. They need to be like versus Tampa good. That was the only game that they wrecked, really was, in my opinion.
It really was, yeah. And look what happened. You shut down the GOAT.
Did
you know? Well, I don't think
got him all confused about what down it was. Yeah. The highlight of the year.
It might be the highlight of the season.
For the Bears, that was the highlight of the year.
Oh my.
So their defense. So that's kind of. I got. Well, hang on. I got one other question, I guess, about our defense.
Yes.
When do you think Eddie Jackson will drop his interception? Oh. The first, second, third, or fourth quarter?
Well, the most painful, so I'm going to go fourth quarter.
And how many times will he airmail a tackle on Murray? Let's go with Murray, because Kamara's not a punishing back, but Murray is.
Let's say three.
Okay, I was going to set the over-under at 2.5, so you took the over there. So for my buddy Brian, I'd like to know whether he's going to take the over or the under when you listen to this on airmailed business decision tackles by Eddie Jackson on Latavius Murray. No, Eddie is, I think, finally there's a discussion about him playing pretty terrible this year. Because most of the season it's been about the pass rush. But man, Eddie has been bad again. And I hope it's the scheme, but and we know he's not a hard hitter, but at least make the tackle. And for him to be dropping interceptions, something's in his head, I think.
Well, he's supposed to be a ball hawk. He's not supposed to be a punishing safety, you know.
Yeah, he's not Jamal Adams.
Right. So I'm okay
not
with
any of it.
Yeah, exactly. He's not even remotely living up to the ball hawk part. The next Ed Reed stuff is gone.
And did you know that was one of the things I wanted to mention. I think this is going to be kind of funny, I hope, but I think beyond QB takes, which as Bears fans were pitiful with, the next take that I most like, wow, good grief, did I get that one wrong, was Chuck Pagano will make Eddie Jackson even better because he's the guy who coached Ed Reed. That take was terrible, and I am ashamed to admit it. But man, do they ever need the real Eddie back. So in my opinion, it's not even the edge rushers. It's Hicks and Eddie that they need back. And I think we know what's wrong with Hicks. He's playing hurt. I don't know what's wrong with Eddie.
Yeah, it's been a remarkable disappointment, Eddie Jackson. I mean, even earlier this year, we were saying, well, we got an all-pro safety in the, you know, back there. And, you know, now we don't anymore. I mean, that's just a fact. Sad to say it. And people say, well, where's Kyle Fuller? I've heard some of that. Where's Kyle Fuller? Well,
I was going to bring him up too. He's only, he's gone 6 weeks without breaking up a pass.
But not many passes are going his way though.
No, and they've been avoiding him at least ever since Johnson got hurt. So there's some, I think if you want to look at what's wrong with this defense in terms of players, he'd probably be like, middle of the pack in my man, I don't know, he's not really playing great either, but it's not as bad. Like, it's really egregious and obvious with Eddie and Trevathan and whoever the nickelbacks are, you know, like those guys are just out of place and everything, and Hicks is not himself. But it all really starts with the one guy they got to get rid of. Even if they keep the rest of them, they got to get rid of Chuck Pagano.
Yeah, I think that for sure is going to happen. I mean, there's going to have to be some.
I'd be stunned if they kept him, based on Nagy's track record of being willing to change up his coaches, too. By every single worthy metric or stat, the Bears' defense has played mediocre football for way too long for the amount of pay they're getting.
Yeah, and you
can't get rid of all the players, so they're totally going to move on from Pagano.
You can look at a lot of the scheme, too, like you mentioned earlier from that Saints game. What the heck was that coverage? And how many teams are doing the same exact thing week after week after week with no adjustment?
It's just so they're underperforming. They're giving up huge plays like the Marquez Valdez Scantling. And you heard Aaron Rodgers break that down on the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah, I did.
Wildly entertaining. And I was like, man, I hate you. But boy, would I love to have a QB who could break that down. Like,
yep.
He's like, well, you know, they were talking. Quinn and Trevathan were talking on the back end. And I knew they were going to play the front in a certain way. And I was like, these two are confused. So someone's going to be covered by a backer. And as soon as I saw what it was, I didn't even use the audible we had. And, you know, he's just like breaks it down like it was, you know, like he was talking about why he chose to, you know, fill in the coloring book the way he filled in the coloring book. It was just so easy for him to be like, oh, that's what they're doing, touchdown. And it was like watching my toddler paint.
The game moves.
Insulting.
The game moves so slow for him. You know what I mean?
And so fast for the Bears.
For Mitch, yeah. Oh,
so did you hear Pagano's quote? I sent it to you in a tweet, but your lazy self was probably still asleep. Oh, I just woke up. I was writing a music
piece. I did. I was.
Don't you bring the composer part into the meatball composer.
I'm sorry. I had to. I got a deadline.
So, did you hear his quote?
No.
I'll read it to you. Bears Chuck Pagano on facing the Saints offense. Quote, I don't know how many hobbies Coach Payton has. I wish he had more and spent a little less time trying to ruin the lives of defensive coordinators, defensive assistants, and players. I get that he's trying to be funny. Haha, I'm not giving them any board material. But that also kind of sounds like, yeah, he's like way more committed to this whole thing than I am. And like, I know we're not going to stop him. Like, that's just such a stupid thing to say. Even if he's joking, like, how do you think the Bears players are like, oh, our coach thinks we're going to go get our lives ruined? Like,
oh, Chuck.
Joke or not, bad look when your defense is playing like trash.
Yeah, maybe he knows he's gone and doesn't care.
That's what I'm wondering. What's your thing about that quote? All right, other side of the ball.
Yes. Okay, offense.
Let's assume A-Rob plays and Mooney does not.
I feel better about what you said about A-Rob. I didn't notice that in the last week, yeah. Couple weeks.
I'm here to comfort you.
Thank you. Well, it's with veterans, usually they have that, you know, did not, you know, veteran resting day. And if it says DNP, it means that there was an injury.
No, I'm pretty sure that goes back to the Jaguars game. So I think we got 2 and now 3 weeks of that. And, of course, okay. The previous two he played.
I feel so better.
Let's assume we have A-Rob, but we do not have Mooney.
That stinks. I like Mooney. But you know what? They're going to get Mooney killed. And he's, what, 5'11"?
He's going to get himself killed, for that matter.
They're treating him, at least last week, they were treating him like a tight end. Like, here's a short pass, now run through three defenders. And eventually he got hurt.
I missed the part where his comp coming into the league was Anquan Boldin. You know, like, what is going on? Breaking tackle. He's a great after the catch, but yes, his frame cannot maintain that. And now we saw what happened. So, yeah.
What is he, like, I think the offense, 70?
Yeah, he's very slight. Do you have any hope for the offense in this game, considering that Mooney's probably out and this is a really good defense?
If they commit to Montgomery and letting him get, you know, getting into a lather, you know, then
as long as Maven Montgomery gets up into a lather,
run behind Whitey Coldhair. That's the only thing I see is a commitment to the running game that the Bears usually – they've been better about it, but
– they have.
I just
I know we all kind of like, what is this game plan? Is Nagy calling plays again? But the more I think about the Green Bay game, the offensive game plan wasn't as bad as I thought. They didn't
make
the big deep shot because they kept the ball from Rodgers.
Yeah, that's the
it
best.
It was that they couldn't do it in the red zone. That was the problem with that game offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't love the shotgun fourth down and one. I don't mind the pass, but I mind that you can't – play fake to get him the ball for something.
Yeah.
And A-Rob's just got to win that one-on-one against a nickelback. That's just A-Rob being bad in a big moment again, too. But anyway, the general idea of keep away is probably a good strategy in this game, too.
Yeah. Especially,
their linebackers are their weakest link.
Not because of the quarterback, though, too. That's an interesting thing.
But the plays, if the Bears can be effective offensively, it's going to be exposing those linebackers, I think. That's their weak link. They got one good one, and the rest are and the Saints fans are. That's what they're worried about. But
okay, I think you got to have Montgomery with at least 25 carries to win this game.
Carries, not touches, huh?
Carries, yes, carries.
What about Patterson?
Kick returns. Thank you. Have a nice day.
What about that Ryan Nall?
I'd rather see Ryan Nall in the backfield than Patterson.
Whenever Patterson's in, it's just all so obvious.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's going to get the – yeah. It's just not effective. Not effective.
You know what I would also like to see less of? And this is tough because it's like if you don't ever have him block, it's too predictable. But, gosh, I'm tired of Jimmy Graham being one of the key blocks on a particular play because he can't do it.
Like that fourth down Robinson play?
Where he's just – another one earlier in the game that was just totally whiffed on it. And I'm like, stop asking him to block. But if he always runs routes, then it's too predictable. So I get the dilemma there.
Yeah. And he wasn't.
I think they.
Yeah, I was just going to say he wasn't very productive in the Jimmy Graham revenge game against the Packers. Would he be any better in the Jimmy Graham revenge game against the Saints?
Probably not.
Probably.
All right. What's your prediction, sir?
Well, I really think it's not going to be a 10-point spread. I think that's just trying to get, you know, people betting on the game, but I gotta say I really want to pick the Bears because, you know, I'm a homer and a meatball, but I just can't do it. I'm going to say Saints 31, Bears 17.
So the Saints do cover.
Oh, sorry.
All that.
See, I just woke up. 31-23. That's my pick. 31-23.
Okay. I'm going to say the offense looks entirely too much like Green Bay. And we got the Saints 27-19.
27. Oh, they don't break 30. Okay.
Which is mostly because the Bears do a decent job with time of possession, but still struggle in the red zone.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, am I bold. Our pick, what happened last week. Thanks, Chris. Goodbye.
Hey, have a nice day. All right, we got other games you want to quickly.
We do, and we should hit them. This is a super wild card weekend. This is like, I don't know, unheard of 6-game slate in 2 days, and our families are all going to hate us. And,
yeah. Much of a journey for my family, but yeah. Let's finish.
Status quo in the Teichler household.
Where's Dad? Oh, he's watching football. Oh. All right, want to finish out the NFC first since you already Bears Saints?
Or do you want to go through them in order?
All right, let's go order. All right.
All right, Colts, Bills. Are we doing the spread or just pick them? How did you
just pick them.
Okay.
Bills.
Bills. Bills are my dark horse, buddy. That's the team I'm rooting for other than the Bears.
Yeah.
I got the Bills. I think they're actually pretty underrated, even though they're now getting a lot of love. But prior to like a week or two ago, they were kind of under the radar. Like they had a great year. They got a lot of good young players. Go Bills.
By the way, all the talk about, the next great quarterback rivalry, you know, will it be Mahomes and Watson or will it be Mahomes and Jackson? It's going to be Mahomes and Josh Allen for the next decade.
Teams. Yeah, in terms of like playing in the playoffs. Well, the Ravens will probably be around too because they're just a good organization.
Yeah, but I agree. But
right,
Jackson
Allen is not mentioned in that conversation.
No, he's not. And he's going to be the guy. You know,
better finish third in the MVP or something's wrong.
Yeah. You know, I just think, you know, Lamar Jackson's fun and he's a great fantasy quarterback, but I just don't know how many times have we seen the athletic running quarterback
go out in the playoffs?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much every time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see you've been talking to Hub Arkish, but, actually wake me up when Jackson wins a playoff game with his arm, and that will be.
Oh, did Hub say that?
Oh, yeah, he's been all over. Lamar's a great athlete, but he's not a QB you can win with in the playoffs.
And well, I picked him
accurate so far in his career.
Mm-hmm. I picked him for one of my fantasy teams because I knew he'd get me points, but I wouldn't want him being my NFL quarterback. I mean, not a slight against him other than the fact that I'd rather have a pocket passer. I'd rather have Mahomes, you know. I'd rather have Watson, too. And
that's
maybe
a hot
we will.
Take. We'll save that for the end of the show.
Okay, all right.
All right, now that we're done with our second No One Cares segment, Chris's fantasy team, Rams, Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Jared I'm going to go who's the quarterback for the Rams?
That's the thing.
Wait, does it matter? Goff stinks anyway.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? Just to be different, give me the Rams. I'll say their defense rises to the occasion. Seattle's not looked great at all down the stretch. And Wolford's going to keep on making me look good. But if Goff plays, I'll take the Seahawks.
All right, I'm going Seahawks. Yeah.
Okay. The Buccaneers and the Washington football team. There, I'll say it right so you don't have to edit me.
Yeah, I forgot to last time. Like, oops. Hope the censors don't find me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? Here's my upset. I'm picking the Washington football team.
I'm really tempted because that front four can wreak havoc on the Bucs, which we saw the Bears do. And we know Brady is like basically unbeatable when he has time in the playoffs. He's like 27-2 when they only hit him a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I saw it earlier today. If he gets hit four or more times, or like actual hits, not like little hurry and a shove, but like a real hit, they were saying on who was it? Somebody tweeted that he's 4-4 in his career when he gets like 3 or more sacks or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like hit a lot, sacked a few times. He's a totally different player. But their offense is bad, and the Bucs D is kind of underrated. So I'm going to still go with the Bucs because I also want them to beat the Packers. So there.
Yeah.
How's that for a real great critical thinking.
For some reason, I still think the Seahawks are the best shot at knocking off Green Bay, but that could just be, you know, past experience clouding my judgment. But
here's our picks based on who we want to beat the Packers in a couple of weeks. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what are you talking about? The Bears are going to beat the Packers next week after they beat St.
Louis. Oh, yeah. We've been setting them up for the you can't beat us three times all That's along. Right. All part of evil Nagy genius's plan.
That's right. I do believe the 1983 Raiders, 83, lost to the Seahawks both times in the regular season, but then beat them in the playoffs.
It is tough to win three times, so they say. I don't know how many examples we actually have of that. You know, the Bears spread is the biggest of the weekend.
Yeah.
That's... We get no respect. We have earned no respect.
I understand that, but as you saw, you know, after my math mistake. Never mind.
Right. The battle of 11 and 5 teams, Ravens-Titans.
Ravens-Titans. Oh, I got to go with the Titans. Derrick Henry, man.
The Ravens are favored, which I don't understand.
Because of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. I feel like the Titans are a better team.
They are.
Although maybe the Ravens defense is way better, and that's why. But I'm going to pick the Titans just like last year, although it's flipped in terms of who's the home team. But I'll take the Titans.
Taking the Titans, yep.
Okay, Saints, Bears, Saints, Browns, Steelers.
Boy. This is
the tougher. How about that story? Yeah. The Browns finally make the playoffs. Now they have no coaches. Unbelievable. The Browns are going to brown, man.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is that when's the last time the Steelers were in a playoff game and they didn't have the better quarterback at the time? Like maybe against Brady at some point?
Yeah, probably when they played Brady like several years ago.
Several years. Yeah. I mean, Big Ben. He might be showing his age more than Drew Brees. But.
Like, maybe it sounds crazy. I would much rather have the Browns collection of skill players, especially when you consider the running backs.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have any of their coach, who's the whole reason it's worked with Mayfield, who is sort of on the track to being a bust until they started running the zone, outside zone, play action stuff that makes all the QBs look good, and he's really good at it. And now he looks good again. And now, like, how could you trust the Browns in this game with the COVID coaching staff thing?
Yeah, yeah.
But the Steelers are kind of like the Seahawks. They're kind of limping into the playoffs, playing a little bit weird, not great football.
Mm-hmm.
Still a really good D, though. So I'm going to go with the Steelers. But I'll be rooting for the craziness that is the Cleveland Browns experience.
I think I got to go with Steelers, too, just because Mike Tomlin's experience and, Yeah, I like Pittsburgh.
Is there a way we can get the Browns Bills AFC Championship game for the All Heartbreak Bowl? Like the loser goes home on the two most tortured AFC fan bases. Maybe the Jets are in there too, but that would be amazing theater. Of course, that means the Browns would have to win this game and then beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not happening then. Got it.
It's not happening. I think the only team that can beat the Chiefs is probably Buffalo.
Buffalo, or I hate to say it, possibly Green Bay.
I meant AFC.
Oh yeah.
Let's not talk about Green Bay beating anybody, because man, they could win. Never mind, forget it.
Hey, can the Bears stink rub off on Green Bay for this week? You know how we have a bye week and we always lose the bye week, and then lose the game after the bye week. Can we get that for Green Bay?
Boy, I wish. I wish. You know, it happened in 2011 when they looked like they were going to win it all again.
Were they 15-1 that season?
They were 15-1.
Giants beat them in the snow. Oh, but I thought
in Lambeau,
cold weather was always a factor in favor of the Packers or Bears.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't close, if I remember. I think it was a double-digit win by the Giants.
Yeah, you know what the cold weather favors? The team with a good pass rush.
That's
what that game. Well, at least in that game. All right, so we've done it. Do we want to dignify the Deshaun Watson stuff with a quick segment?
Sure. Why don't you catch up our listeners on
Deshaun Watson is throwing a hissy fit because the Houston owner said that he could be involved or something in the GM coaching search, and then hired the GM from the Patriots, which, by the way, they just got rid of a bunch of people who have ties to the Patriots, and did not consult Watson. And so now he's upset and apparently talked to teammates to gauge their reaction about a possible trade request, which has sent everyone in, well, QB starved markets like Chicago scrambling for ways to acquire Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Or is it Sean Dotson?
Sean. Getting the ball from Whitey Coathair.
Yeah, there we go. So, I think it's obviously a stretch. They have to first, agree that they're going to trade him.
Yeah, and do you see Ryan Pace going to be like, yeah, I screwed up. I'm going to fix that right now and trade for the guy that I should have drafted. Is that going to happen?
It would save his job for a while.
It's
hard to imagine.
Man, that's a big ego to swallow,
though. I mean, it's not like Watson seems totally bitter about how the whole thing went down with the Bears. I'm sure he'd love to put the Bears on his short list of the team. Oh, wait. No, he's very bitter.
Well, did you see on Twitter the WGN weatherman?
That's hilarious.
Not Tom Skilling. I don't know who it is.
Yeah, Watson followed two weathermen.
He followed two Chicago weathermen, right?
Yes.
Like, wait a minute. So...
Which we're kind of hard on Watson in this podcast because of the other stories around him and Mahomes and all that.
Yes.
But that's hilarious. If he's just trolling Chicago, that's hilarious.
Unless he's trying to send little hints. I don't know, but
he does have no trade clause in the new deal. And he'd have quite a bit of agency about the team. But, I mean, how could the Bears outbid, say, the Dolphins? Dolphins can throw in the third pick in this year's draft, i.e. here's your draft pick back. Another first this year, however many in the future, and Tua.
Are they giving up on Tua?
Some people think so. I don't think we know yet. But I'm just saying, like, if they could get Deshaun Watson, yeah, probably. I mean, as much as we give him grief for the overhyped narrative,
he did
have an amazing year with a bunch of trash around him and led the league in yards somehow.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty darn good.
He's still a very good quarterback. Good,
but he's correct. Still darn good, and I think they would have to consider it, right? And, like, how do the Bears beat that offer for a team that should then be rebuilding?
You'd have to trade a first. How about this? How about a first, a third, and a Polish sausage for Deshaun Watson, my friend?
I saw people on Twitter were offering Portillo's.
That's good, man. Oh, I miss Portillo's so much.
Yeah, then I had a friend say, no, that's a deal breaker. So.
He's not worth Portillo's. That's probably true, though.
And then I had another person say, nah, Portillo's is overrated.
Whoa!
And I'm like, whoa, it's the all overrated trade. Whoa.
Jeez. You know, the suburb
I... heathens I talk to, you know?
The suburb I grew up in, that I lived in the 80s, Villa Park, Illinois, home of the first Portillo's.
Were you there in 83?
I would have been there in 83, yes. Okay. Yeah. And my dad grew up in Villa Park, so he...
Look at your Chicago street.
That's right.
Credentials.
Street cred from DuPage County.
Let's say the deal was a first and a third this year, a second and something next year, and then another first the year after and something else, whatever. Would you do it for a, you know, a Jay Cutler style trade where maybe you spread out the firsts a little better? Are the Bears still in a win now mode if they do that? He has the missing piece.
I think next year, yes. I think the defense would, get healthy, get a new coordinator, someone a little more, suited to what the Bears' talents are on defense. Then, yeah, I think you got one, maybe two more years with that defense.
So you'd do it for a King's ransom of draft picks.
No, but no, I don't want to give up two first-round picks again, though.
That's not going to happen then because it's going to require that.
I mean,
but the Bears have almost no chance at this. To be clear, they pulled the Mac trade off when they were actually well positioned to. They're not positioned to.
Yeah, so it's not happening.
They absolutely should be interested. I mean, I think the only scenario where it happens is by some strange miracle, he basically says, "Trade me to the Bears for reasons I can't quite figure out," and
Portillo's,
they have leverage. That's the only way it could even happen is that Watson gives the Bears leverage. But in all likelihood, it's not even. They're probably not even going to trade him.
Yeah.
Are they going to think trade him out of conference? I wonder that's the other thing, which would help because then you wouldn't be competing with teams like
that. That would help, picks. Mm-hmm. That's the Cutler trade was out of conference. The Mac trade was out of conference.
So, what if that's his thing? Like, I don't want to go up against Mahomes before the Super Bowl every year anymore.
That could be.
And he wants to be in the NFC.
And he wants to be on a team with a good defense. Yeah. A team that could compete.
Would make sense. The Bears would then make sense. Pretty much any NFC East team needs a QB. They all would be interested. Yeah. And the idea that basically the second best QB that's young enough to build long term around in the league could be moving is really hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Like, those are the guys that are never supposed to get traded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Packers being like, yay, we had another great year with Rodgers, but we're going to transition. Like, they did that to Favre. That's even more believable than this. Because Rodgers is, you know, on the wrong side of 30. What is he, 36 right. or something? I don't remember. He's getting
mid-30s. Yeah.
Yeah, he's late 30s-ish.
Oh, yeah, he would be late 30s. So I keep forgetting I'm mid-40s.
I'm so sorry for the sober reminder.
That's okay.
Rodgers being on the move would seem to have made more sense just because of aging QBs. It happens. I mean, for crying out loud, Brady's a Buccaneer now.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just not supposed to trade 25-year-old, basically all-pro, but definitely Pro Bowler QBs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I still feel like they're going to try to work it out. But the Texans have screwed everything up so bad ever since the Hopkins trade. That yeah, you have that, to say, oh, with the man. Texans right now, all things are possible.
With Houston, all things are possible. Things
are possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But is he also throwing a hissy fit?
Like, yes.
Is this a little ridiculous on his part?
To go on Twitter, some things never change, .. Come on, man.
Okay, maybe as if you're in his shoes, you would definitely want some input maybe in the coach. But the GM seems a bit removed from what he does. I could totally see him saying that about, like, the coach, since that's somebody he works with daily, right? Maybe that would be a little more reasonable. But so far it was just the GM that's been hired. So, I don't know. Don't get me wrong. Still take him. Super unlikely. Story's not going to go away, though. And these things tend to have a life of their own that often do culminate in the guy getting traded.
Yeah, and when do they pick? Do you know, Houston? They're a top 10 pick.
No, not anymore. That's what I'm saying. They gave it to the Dolphins in the Tunsil trade. They don't even have a first rounder this year or next.
Oh, well, then how are they going to get a quarterback?
Yeah, that's why they have to get a haul of picks for him.
Yeah.
And it would have to be that he simply doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild, and they've pissed him off to, you know, beyond any repair. That's the only way he gets traded. But they're dumb enough this year, at least, that now it's like, maybe that does happen. And when's the last time the passing yards leader had been traded, too? That's another one I want to know if it happened.
Oh, I didn't know he was the
passing. Totally unlikely on 100 levels. But for all the crap we give him because of the media stuff.
Yes.
And I do think he's overreacting. Still, sign me up.
Yep.
We don't have a QB of that caliber.
Yep.
So, whatever. All right, my friend, anything else?
No, you want to catch up after the playoff game, no matter what happens?
Yeah, but probably it would need to be the day after, because that timing is super irritating with the fam and the little ones getting to bed. It'd probably have to be Monday.
All right, so maybe.
Or Monday maybe after Thursday. They go to bed.
Well, if we do,
like a 9 p.m. maybe.
I'm a night owl.
We'll coordinate. Yeah. The good listener doesn't need to hear this.
That's right. That
later.
Planning our schedule. Later on. Yeah. All right. Well, whatever the case, we'll talk about how the Bears beat the Saints and are prepared for the Packers again. Yay.
Just like we predicted.
That's right. Exactly right, my friend. Yeah. All right. Thanks for chatting. Yeah.
See ya.
You've been meatballed.
You suck, Chris.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
The Bears.
The Bears.
I love the Bears.